All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Week one edition, it's finally here. It's been a long offseason and even a long preseason. But the Buccaneers on Sunday at 1 o'clock are going to play a football game that counts. It's the first of 17. And hey, we hope maybe a few more after that. But the journey starts on Sunday afternoon in Minneapolis when the Bucs travel to take on the Vikings, who everybody loves. Everybody's really high on the Vikings. They improved last year. People think they make a bigger leap this year. If you watched the quarterback documentary there on Netflix, everybody loves Kirk Cousins now, on and on and on. In fact, if you're not a Bucs fan, let's be honest right now. If you're not a Bucs fan and you're in one of those survivor pools where you have to pick one game every week where a team wins and you advance, you're probably considering the Vikings right now. That one, it's one of the higher lines. It's been around six. And everybody thinks after this one's over on Sunday, Vikings will be 1-0, Bucks will be 0-1. That remains to be seen, but we're going to talk about it all today. And not just the one game on Sunday, but I always, the week before we start the whole season, like to look ahead and go over what my hopes and what my wishes are for the upcoming season, besides the obvious every year. You want to win the Super Bowl and all those things, and you want to make the playoffs. But, you know, besides just the 2023 Bucks specifically, where's the organization right now? Where do we think it can go? Where do we hope it can go? We're going to talk about all those things today. A lot has happened since my last show, the Mike Evans thing. I want to get into that because I have some definite thoughts on that. It doesn't appear as if anything's going to be happening with that anytime soon. And at least as of now, there's a very real, if not likely, chance that he is playing somewhere else next season. But for now, we'll get to all those things on the show. Let's set you up with what you're going to need to know. First of all, if you want to get a hold of me, email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can find me at bobbygameday. By the way, I have sent out the fridge schedules. Those of you that emailed asking for a fridge schedule, you all have them by now. If anybody else wants one, I typed it up the other day. It's just a nice 8.5 by 11. I just send you the file and you print it yourself, but I put color logos on there. I organize it real nice. Always had a fridge schedule ever since I was a kid. My grandma would cut them out of the newspaper and put them on the fridge for all my favorite teams. And I still do it to this day, only now I make them myself because I like them bigger, first of all. And second of all, they don't even put them in the paper a lot of the time. But anyway, email me if you want, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, and I will get that to you via email. And you should print it out in color, by the way. It's specifically designed for that. And it'll just pop and look. It's how you know football season has come, you know? Like there earlier this week, I went up to my fridge, and I got one of those fridges that looks metallic, but nothing actually sticks magnetically. It's not metal on the front, so only on the side does this stuff work. So I've had to change a few things over the years. But I got limited real estate. I still got the Gators schedule up there and the Bucks schedule up there. Right now, there's just one big fat L from the Utah game on the side of my fridge. But hopefully some changes start happening with that in the next this weekend with the Gators and the Bucks both. So as far as the Bucks, so we're about to start a season, our first in three seasons without a Hall of Fame quarterback. And looking back, I still can't even believe all that happened. But 3 years removed from a Super Bowl championship, 2 years removed from being one of the best teams in the NFL, even if they didn't win the Super Bowl in 2021, and 1 year removed from being a division winner and a playoff team, which we hope they can be again. We always hope that. But obviously things are different now. You know, it's not the same Bucks team. And even last year's Bucks team wasn't exactly that great. And so the Bucks have gone from a Super Bowl team to still a pretty good team to a mediocre team to now a team that a lot of people have in the bottom five of the league. And I don't know if I agree with that or not. I've told you on past shows during the preseason, I think the spread of potential outcomes of this season is wide. Let's say a genie like from the future came and told me the Bucks record is going to be X. What would surprise me? Honestly, nothing from 4-13 all the way to 9-8 would surprise me. Anywhere in that range from 4-9 wins, I wouldn't be stunned. I'd be pretty surprised if they went 10-7 or better, and I'd be pretty surprised if they went 3-14 or worse. But 4-13 all the way to 9-8, I could see any of those things and really not be all that surprised. And the NFL, I mean, we know this by now, but I mean, even the bad teams, whether you're a good, halfway okay, or bad team, there's going to be so many close games and so many things are going to come down to a call, to a fourth down decision, to a bounce. All three of those things factored into last night's game. If you watch the Chiefs and Lions, you had a call, not a bad call, but a call, Donovan Smith's holding penalty, kills. I mean, we're familiar with that. Every Bucs fan's nodding. But yeah, a Donovan Smith drive-killing holding penalty in the crucial moments of the game derailed what should have been a game-winning field goal drive for the Chiefs. They never got there. A bounce. Well, the Kadarius Toney crossing route that bounces off his hands, and it wasn't a bad pass, goes straight up in the air. Lions return it for a 50-yard touchdown. Boom. They win by 1 point. And fourth down decisions, also huge last night. The Lions made one early in the game when they had fourth and two, and they didn't go for it, quote-unquote, but they faked a punt instead. That was their way of going for it. They got it, still had 80 yards to go, and scored a touchdown. The Chiefs then kicked a field goal on fourth and two from close in tight, where they had a chance. I thought they should have gone for that and tried to get the first down, score a touchdown. Instead, they kick, and again, they lose by 1 point. So, like I said, one dumb decision, one dumb play, one weird bounce, you know, one fourth down idea that you should have done this and you did that instead. And that's going to happen out of the 17 games. That's going to happen in, you know, a third of them or more, okay? It's not, most of these games aren't going to be decided by two touchdowns, three touchdowns. That's not how it works in the NFL. So, you know, where are you on the margins with all that? Now, with fourth down decisions, you know, that's one I'm a little bit, and we'll see if Todd Bowles gets any better with it this year. And not just fourth down, but third down decisions and play calling. You know, I think that you will see a difference from Dave Canales going back to Byron Leftwich. But again, I still wonder, knowing what Byron Leftwich was able to do in his first couple of years, and namely under Bruce Arians, and then knowing how it went last year, I'm not totally convinced that wasn't all, or that it was all Byron Leftwich, and how much of a hand Todd Bowles had in all that. It was awfully fishy, because I don't think Byron Leftwich got dumb overnight, but it was an atrocity last season watching this offense be called. And like I said, I'm not sure. I'm not trying to, you know, it's not a conspiracy theory. I just don't know. But Dave Canales, hopefully, and what he's allowed to do and wants to do, is a big step forward from what we saw last season, because there is no chance for any team that runs its offense the way the Bucs ran their offense last year. They were fortunate just to win the division, albeit obviously not having a good record, but they still won it. We'll see about all those things, but those are questions I have this year. The offensive line worries me. All right, Tristan Wirfs is at left tackle. He's one of the best in the business at right tackle, and I think he'll be fine at left tackle too, but even so, he's just one guy. Now Cody Mauch's got back spasms this week, missed practice. Don't know what's going on there. Robert Haynes, he's the center, not Ryan Jensen, who's done pretty much. Filer, okay, guy we brought in as a free agent, Matt Filer. And listen, he's got some credentials. I'd rather have him than what we would have had if we hadn't brought him in. But at the same time, he gave up the third most sacks of any guard in the league last year. So, and then you've got Luke Getteke on the right tackle spot now. And he struggled mightily as a guard. Now he's going to a more challenging position. And I don't, you know, what we saw in preseason, I'm not going to harp too much on one way or the other. But I've said before about the offensive line, if that's a problem, if that ends up being an issue, then all the other things we talk about on all of our shows every single week here on Joe Bucs Fan on the Free Stretch won't matter at all. You won't need to know anything else about the Buccaneers. If the offensive line is a problem, then we are playing out the string right now. You can start thinking about head coaching candidates, and you can start thinking about draft position right now if the offensive line is a problem, because we will not go anywhere. And that's true. Hey, you could say that about any team, but the Bucs, they need their offensive line to make things as easy as possible on the quarterback, Baker Mayfield, who's okay, but I mean, it's not, given his track record in the NFL, first of all, no one's Tom Brady, but second of all, you know, he wouldn't be considered a top-tier quarterback behind the best line, and now here we are behind a line that I've got lots of questions about, and most people have lots of questions about. So there's that. But what do I want for this team, given all those things I just talked about? I'll tell you right now, because I grew up, you know, I'm 43, so I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, and I've gone on this spiel before. I won't do it again for a long time. But I grew up in an era where the Buccaneers lost double-digit games literally every year. Like, they did not even lose 9 games, let alone make the playoffs. They lost 10 or more games my entire childhood up until I was in high school, okay? So that's how I grew up. That's ingrained in me from childhood. So I don't take it for granted just because they made the playoffs. Making the playoffs, just making the playoffs is a big deal. I guess I'm like the football equivalent of like a Depression-era grandparent. Like those of you that have grandparents that grew up during the Depression and their outlook on things is completely different. And it makes sense because their formative years happened during a time when like everything was hard to come by and there were no luxuries and just they grew up knowing hardship. I'm not comparing being the fan of a losing football team to that, but what I'm saying is I'm the football fan equivalent of that. So I don't care if the Bucks go 8-9 and win the division and make the playoff. That's that they're in the playoffs. Like the Bucks made the playoffs in my whole life zero times until high school, and then even after that I could count on one hand. It's not just something that, you know, at least in my, if you're a Patriots fan, you probably think, well, whatever, the playoffs, who cares? Wake me up in the divisional round, you know? But that's not how I think. So my number one goal of any Bucs season ever, ever, isn't simply the playoffs. It's to play in football games after Thanksgiving that matter. Just to literally care about the games after Thanksgiving is something that I don't take for granted because those games never mattered when I was a kid. Like, it wasn't like... Like, I remember one time when I was in elementary school, the Bucks were not yet mathematically eliminated in, like, week 13 or something. And we were like, oh, man, this is, like, a big game. The Bucks have a big game. Like, they're and they were, like, probably 4-6 or so, whatever it was. I don't know. But they were probably, you know, way on the fringes of it. But they literally weren't eliminated, and we thought that was a big deal. So, unless you're just going to go completely in the jar and we're talking about, you know, Caleb Williams or something like that, which that's a whole other thing. That's one end of it. But if not that, then yeah, let's play some football games that matter and let's keep it interesting. They're certainly in a division where that's possible. And it's not like there's any one team in the division where you just already consider it hopeless. The Saints are the favorites, certainly, but you know they're aging and Derek Carr isn't like... the Saints don't seem like some sort of a lock. And the Falcons and Panthers both have young quarterbacks untested. The division is favorable. And the schedule is favorable, in fact, because the Bucks get paired up with the AFC South. The whole division does, of course, but the overall schedule's not that bad. There's a few reasons to be excited, but that's my number one wish every year. Give me some important game. Give me a reason where, like, on Friday or Saturday afternoon or even on Sunday morning when I wake up, I'm like, hey, Bucks game today. Like, that's, you know, we got to... there's nothing worse than just being indifferent and just being like, oh, whatever, playing out the string, let's get this over with. I'm watching out of duty, but I don't really care. That's the worst. Like, that's never where you want to be as a fan. And I'm kind of getting there already after one game with the Gators, watching the way they performed in Utah, and it already feels like, yeah, okay, what are we really even doing here? Like, what are we trying to do, you know? So I don't want that for the Bucks this season. That's number one. But number two... And I say this all the time about all of my teams, and if anybody who's running an organization should think this way, you know, this year is important. It's always the most important because it's the one that's right now, but it's not more important than 2024, 2025, 2026. Those just aren't right now, so we're not thinking about those. So if you told me, and of course you never know these things till after the fact, but if you told me what was best for the Bucks was getting in position to be able to draft someone like Caleb Williams or Drake May from North Carolina... If that really was what's best for the team, I'd be fine with that. But of course, you don't know that. And speaking of what's best for the team, that brings me to the next thing I want to talk about, Mike Evans. Because we've all, you know, seen and the negotiations have become public and he's due a contract extension, or a new contract, I should say. It hasn't happened. His agent and him, or he are frustrated. They want the deal done. They wanted it done before anything started and his... future in Tampa Bay, secure, big payday, all that stuff. And the Bucks and his camp haven't been able to get it done. So now he says, you know what? We're not doing this during the season. We're breaking off all talks. The deadline's the deadline. And that's it. And we're moving on. I guess what's the deadline? He said tomorrow, right? September 9th. And so then there won't be any more negotiations. I don't mind this ploy. I don't want to say ploy. I don't mind this tactic from his agent or Mike Evans. No problem. I have no objection to that at all. You know, he's... getting to, and has not shown any signs of deterioration. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying he's 30 now. He's got one more chance to put up a big number contract-wise. And he has certainly earned it. I'm not saying he hasn't. So he wants to get that done because, you know, this is it. This is his last chance to get a bit, and he's going to want a lot of years, a lot of money, all that stuff, and he knows he can get it, so he's going after that. Totally fine with that. I have no issue with this on his end. But if I'm the Bucks, if I'm Jason Light, looking at this strictly from a perspective of what's best for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, do you really want to do that? I mean, does it make sense to do that to a guy who's getting older? And again, not saying he's declined in any way, because he has not yet and has not given us any reason to believe he's doing that. But he's 30. I mean, we will. Yeah, they all will. We all do. And so, given a team and the position the Bucs are in, where I don't think anybody really believes that right here, right now is where we need to push all of our chips in, which is unlike what it was the past couple seasons, past three seasons, is it really smart? You know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter or talk to buddies, and people get really tied up and loyal to players. Understandably, I mean, this is about personalities and it's about feelings and emotions, and I have no problem with that. But people get wrapped up, and I've seen people saying, oh, I don't care what, you know, they're not paying attention to nuance. I don't care what they got to do. They better figure out a way. If they let Mike Evans walk, that's the end for me. I can't believe they're even considering letting him go, blah, 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 blah. And that's a fan talking. That's emotion talking. But who do you like more, the Bucs or Mike Evans? I love Mike. I'm not, this is nothing against Mike Evans. I love Mike Evans. He's been, from day one, absolutely phenomenal. When you draft someone on draft day and you go turn the card in at the table up there, you hope beyond your wildest dreams you could get three quarters of what Mike Evans has done here, okay? So he's been outstanding. But, and off the field, as a guy in the community too, okay? But I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's my thing. Like, that's, as far as being a fan of football, I'm a Buccaneers fan. And even though there's a lot of players I like and have loved that have come and gone, all right, never, ever, ever has one guy mattered to me as much as the team does, ever. All right? And like I said, this is real greaseball stuff, back to the old country for me. Like, this goes back to when I was a kid in my mom's womb, even further back, at the 79 NFC Championship game, and it, ever since then, okay? So that doesn't matter. Who guys come and go. Some of them you don't care about. Some of them you like. Some of them you dislike, whatever. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the franchise, that is what matters to me. So as much as I love Mike Evans, if the Bucs have to do something that doesn't make sense for the franchise, that doesn't help them get better down the road, I'd be okay if Mike Evans got traded. You saw the Chiefs last night, right? Like, they're really good, except they don't have enough receiving talent. They're bouncing balls off Kadarius Toney's hands. They could absolutely take over the world if they had a guy like Mike Evans. So if they offered a king's ransom to get him from us, and the Bucs had a chance to rebuild the franchise and start setting up. And listen, the Chiefs probably aren't going to be picking high in round one, so it's not like you're going to get top 10 picks from them. I get it. But, you know, still, like, if you were able to get a really, really big haul from them, wouldn't that be better for the Bucs? And this is all hypothetical. Wouldn't that be better for the Bucs than paying hundreds of millions of dollars to someone who's not going to be there the next time you're actually good? You know? And things change fast. I mean, look, maybe he could be here the next time we were good. The Bucs in 2019 didn't seem like a team that was 1 year away from a Super Bowl. They didn't even seem like they were 5 years away from a Super Bowl. And then one guy, you know, it happened fast. And not picking up a guy like Tom Brady is not going to happen every year. But the point is, I understand maybe you... if you think, let me tell you this. If you think, no, I don't just want Mike Evans because I like him. I want him because I think that's best for the Buccaneers. That's fine. That's a perfectly valid opinion, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But don't just say, oh, well, they need to keep Mike Evans no matter what. He's a fan favorite, all this. No. That's not how this works. That's never how it worked. You can go get his jersey for the other team if that's how you feel. But I'm a Bucs fan. Like, just like Full Metal Jacket. This is my team. There are other teams like it, but this one is mine, okay? So I don't... If he goes somewhere else, and I'll wish him well, let's do what's best for the Bucs. We're entrusting that to Jason Light. And I don't know the specifics of the negotiations or if the Bucs have made good offers that were rejected or if their offers aren't competitive or if they're even close or if there's a compromise to be made. I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend to know those things, okay? But I wouldn't go nuts here is what I'm trying to say. It's the long way of me saying I wouldn't go nuts here as much as I love Mike Evans. If we can get it done, great. But and it's not just money. It's term. Like, I would take him for a 2 or 3 year deal, but do we want to sign a long term contract for a guy who's 30? I mean, think of the Rays. Think of the most successful team in our market. Actually, I shouldn't even say the Lightning are the most. We're very lucky. We have some successful teams. But think of the Rays, who do things the way they do on the budget that they have allotted themselves, whether you think it's right or not that they do that. And think of the things they have done to be one of the best teams in baseball, despite spending literally like 1/5 of their competitors, or even less than that in some cases. Would the Rays ever throw big money and long-term, not just big money, but long-term, at someone who's probably reached their peak and is going to be on the decline in the coming years? No, that's crazy. Like the Rays would never do that. And they're the smartest guys, or some of the smartest guys as far as the way they run their organization. And the Lightning wouldn't do it either in a salary cap league. Now, a guy like Mike Evans, you say, well, he's more comparable to someone like Stamkos or someone, you know, who's like Hedman. And he is. Like he's the Bucks version of one of those guys, absolutely. But signing someone like that to a new contract now, if it has to be a really long one, I don't think is wise. And nobody ever wants to say rebuild, because at the end of the day, football and all these sports are entertainment, and you're selling fans on an idea and reasons, basically, to want to come spend money on your football team or your organization. So how can you tell them, oh, well, we don't really think we have much to offer this season, so we're going to forget about that and worry about future seasons? That's the right thing to do in some cases. But you can't say those things. I mean, you know, you're supposed to get everybody excited for every week, every season, every month. You know, I get it. I get it. It's not an easy job. Like, you have to balance those things. But I guess that comes back to the ownership. You know, they're the boss. So Jason Light has bosses. They're the Glazers. And if I were the Glazers, I would tell him, look, man, I'm not going to fire you for being bad for a season as long as you have a plan, but We want to do the thing that maximizes our chances to be good at any point, not just right now, all the time. So, you know, I don't think we're winning the 2023 Super Bowl, but if you told me a move like trading Mike Evans could help us win the 2027 Super Bowl or something like that, which is, you know, 4 years is forever, so nobody thinks about that, but I would take that. You know, that, like I said, the year you're in is always the most important, because that's the year you're in, but it's not more important than the next year or the year after that or the year after that in reality. And soon, this year will be last year, and next year will be this year. So, that's my thoughts on Mike Evans, and I love him. I love him, and I hope he balls out this year. I think he has incentive to, because whether it's with us or somebody else, he's playing for his next money. But, you know, it's not as simple as I like him, so the Bucks better figure out a way to keep him. We all like Mike Evans. We all love Mike Evans. And I have no problem with him and his agent doing what they've done, but take care of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light. That's your job, whatever you think that is, and you might be right, you might be wrong, but that's your job. That's what you're entrusted to do. So do that, not just for 2023, but for years to come. And, you know, it depends on your level of job security, how much anybody thinks about those things. Todd Bowles, for example, does not care about the 2027 Bucks, because he's not the owner or the GM. He's a coach who will probably be fired if the Bucks are as bad as a lot of people say they're going to be. We'll see where that journey takes them. But, you know, just looking at Sunday. Okay, we'll talk about Sunday now against the Vikings. And like I said, the Bucks are a team that right now nobody's given a ton of chance to. If you look at the Vikings, and they have improved for sure. I mean, Kirk Cousins improved a ton. It's no coincidence he started to improve a lot after TJ Hockenson was traded to the Vikings last season. In fact, Cousins was 18th in the league in EPA per play before that trade. He went to 11th after that when they brought in the tight end. And we know about Justin Jefferson, and they've got a pretty good receiving core. They added Jordan Addison at wide receiver as well. There's a couple of weaknesses from last season. The Vikings finished 2022. They were 26th in pass blocking efficiency. Their tackles weren't bad, but it was their interior line. 71% of the pressure on Kirk Cousins last season came from up the middle. That was the worst in the NFL, and it wasn't even close. That was 7 percentage points above the Texans, who were second worst. So, you know, I look up front, Vita Vea, you know, right there over the center. And not just Vita Vea, but also looking at Logan Hall, and we'll see, you know, Kalijah Kancey practiced this week, but of course he had no preseason and all those things, and, you know, be one thing if it was a veteran guy, but a rookie to begin with and not having a preseason, I'm not sure how much you expect to see of him, number one. Number two, how much you expect to see out of him when he is in there, however much he's in there. But, you know, it really does come back to the pass rush up front, and with the Vikings in particular, they can be had up the middle. Of course, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, does he make the leap this year? Does he get better? Is Shaq Barrett the same Shaq Barrett? We kind of just pencil Shaq Barrett in, but he only played half the season last year, and he's coming off a huge knee injury. So will he be the same? I don't know. We don't know. We'll see about that. But I'll tell you this, and just like I said on the offensive line side of things, that if they're not good, nothing else will matter. Well, the Bucs have a pretty good secondary, right? I mean, they've got some pretty accomplished guys in Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, Antoine Winfield, even Ryan Neal's a good addition at safety. They're a little weak, and you know, they're rolling out D. Delaney for their fifth guy, but still, they have a pretty good like top four in the secondary. That won't matter either. I'm telling you, I don't care how good they are if we don't have pass rush. Pass rush. Tell me anytime. Think about all those great Bucs defenses. Whether it's the ones from the early 2000s, the first Super Bowl, or whether it's the ones from the most recent Super Bowl in 2020, or any of those defenses that we ever thought on the Bucs were good, every single one of them, it was pass rush. I mean, they had other good, it wasn't just pass rush, but there's no, hey, the pass rush isn't any good, but we still have an awesome defense, and they're making up, in the secondary, they're making up for it. No. That doesn't work that way. Pass rush. So, it's, you know, it's kind of simplistic in a way, but it really is true. On both sides of the ball, you start from the ball out, and up front is where it's going to have to happen. I'm a little more concerned about the offensive side than the defensive side, but we'll see. But the Bucs do have a decent secondary. And then, as far as the Vikings defense, and it being week one, you know, all we have to go on is last year's stuff and personnel moves from the offseason and things like that. But the Vikings did lose a lot. They lost their best interior pass rusher, best outside pass rusher, both their starting corners, their top linebacker, Eric Kendricks, all gone. All will be replaced by new guys this year. You know, it's a challenge for them. So we'll see how those things go. It's definitely a game I think the Bucs can be in. Teams that are favored by a touchdown or more in week one, and the Vikings aren't quite right now. They're a 6.5 point favorite, or actually a 6 point favorite, depending on where you look. But teams with big spreads in week one, before there's a big body of work, are pretty well under 500 against the spread historically. So, and I'm not, you know, we don't care about betting angles. We care about the Bucs winning. But if I was betting, I would take something like 6 points. I'd definitely take 7 points if it ever got to 7 points. It's something we'll have to see. But either way, it's the first one on Sunday. And it's going to be fun. Listen, I say this every, not just year, but every show. This is supposed to be fun. Don't let it get you too up or too down. Especially the down. It's okay to let it get you too up. That's fine. Have fun with it. If the Bucs win the Super Bowl, go nuts. We've done it before. But don't let it get you too down if it doesn't go the way you hope. Remember, you're not going to get a pay, garnishment at work if the Bucs win fewer than five games. It's not like you get a promotion at work if they win the division. You still have lives to lead. I have a life to lead. Just have fun with it. And I want to have fun. And use it as a chance to get together with people. You know, in this day and age with all the phones and everything, it's easy to just sit at home. I mean, sometimes me and my buddies, I'll realize we're all sitting at our houses, and we all live like a mile apart, and we're all sitting at our houses texting each other watching the Buck game. Like, you know, we could have just gotten together at somebody's house and done this. And we need to do that more. And you know, use these things as a reason to do that. Call up a buddy or a family member, your mom or your dad, and say, hey, come over for the game Sunday. We're going to, you know, we'll get some food. We'll put the game on TV. And we're going to enjoy it. Speaking of TV, one more thing I wanted to say before we wrap up. Although the Bucs game on Sunday is on CBS. That's fine. But this whole thing going on right now with Spectrum and ESPN, I know it's affecting a lot of people. I've always been an avowed cable guy. Like, I like cable. I'm not a streamer. I don't like having to use apps. I like to turn on the TV. I like a remote control with buttons with numbers on it and a channel number. This game is on this channel. This game is on that channel. I can switch channels very easily, and every channel I want is in a consolidated, streamlined place. That's cable. And it's been working for me since whatever the dawning, what was cable when it first became a thing, like the early 80s, mid 80s? I remember when we got cable, like when I was a kid for the first time. Fell in love that very day. Still love it today. But now, cable's let me down, okay? Streaming's one thing, but cable, not having ESPN or any of the ESPN family of networks, and if you're a college football fan like me, although Monday Night Football and the NFL's on ESPN too, it's just a non-starter, okay? Like, I can't not have ESPN. So I've been forced the past week to start looking at streaming options. I even got on the phone last night with a friend of mine just so that they could watch a game on cable and I could put it on this app. I'm doing a free trial of one of these apps. And just to compare the delay, it was 30 seconds delayed, by the way. I was watching college football on Saturday and like a team attempted an onside kick and I saw on Twitter, whoa, onside kick. And then it came on my TV like 30 seconds after that. I don't care for that, okay? I like to be live. I don't even like when HD TV came out 20 years ago and I figured out that those had like a 10-second delay. I used to watch games on the standard definition like tube TVs, even though I had HD, because I didn't like the delay for that. And remember how you'd have TVs in different rooms? Like, this is something from like the early 2000s, but I remember like there'd be the HD flat screen in the living room, but then like one of the bedrooms had a tube TV, and I'd go in the bedroom, like a game-winning field goal attempt or something, and watch that, and then my buddies would hear me go, yeah! And then like 20 seconds later it would happen on the living room TV, and they'd get all pissed off that I ruined it for them. That's the kind of guy I am, okay? So anyway, my point is, now I'm looking at options. And I'm not going to go into the whole thing because you guys, everybody's got their own problems with this. But if you guys want to, we can help each other out. I'm looking at Fubo and I'm looking at DirecTV Stream. And the only reason those are my two is because those two have Bally Sports. Any other, like YouTube TV, I've heard is great, but they don't have Bally Sports. So I have to get that plus pay $20 a month extra for the Bally Sports app. I have to have Rays. I have to have Lightning Games year round, non-negotiable. And of course, I have to have ESPN too. So right now, the only thing that's offering all those are streaming services, unless the Spectrum ESPN thing gets figured out. I'm not happy about it, but I'm not giving up on cable either. I still think it gets figured out. I feel like too much is at stake and too many people have something invested in it for Spectrum to just walk away from ESPN forever. And I feel like ESPN needs Spectrum too. There's still a lot of people that use cable. Maybe I'm wrong about all that, but in any event, email me if you've got a better idea. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. That's to worry about for another week. We don't have to worry about that. The Bucks do play on Monday Night Football against the Eagles in week four, though. So, hey, that will be on ESPN. Hopefully by then this whole thing is resolved. I guess it remains to be seen. But in the meantime, oh, hey, if one of our listeners, I wanted to mention this. One of our listeners and one of the guys who got a fridge schedule, Andrew, he has a clothing company. The clothing company is called Nothing Better Than Doing Nothing. The website is nothingbetterlife.com. I'm on the website. They got some cool stuff. Like, if you're into, like, the whole casual wear, like, if you're looking, hey, I'm wearing khaki shorts and boat shoes or flip-flops, what shirt am I going to wear? Which is, like, a uniform for two-thirds of the people in Florida, including me. This is where you need to be looking. They got a lot of good stuff. Check out nothingbetterlife.com. A lot of good stuff there. I'm actually perusing the shop right now. And again, they got it all. They got t-shirts, they got hats, they got, you know, swimwear, men, women, anything you want. Nothingbetterlife.com. Thanks to Andrew for supporting the show. I was glad to give him a fridge schedule. If you want a fridge schedule, again, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I should say I will make it happen for you. And in the meantime, here we are, folks. Week one. We finally got there. It was a long off season. And, hey, it'll be an even quicker season, so savor every week of it. And if you're not that optimistic about the Bucks this year, I get it. But you know what? At least let it play out. You know, right now everybody's 0-0, and we never know. If watching sports over all these years has taught us anything, it's that we never know what the hell's actually going to happen. That's why we actually tune in. So get together with friends, family, loved ones. Have a little thing at your house or go to somebody's house. Watch the Bucks-Vikings Sunday, 1 p.m. CBS for this one. We're back in the routine. We'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a 1-0 football team. In the meantime, thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform here on JoeBucksFan.com, the number one place anywhere, TV, radio, internet for Bucks coverage. It's a privilege and an honor. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.